You guys sound different since you've been out to dinner now.
That's not fair.
Well, most of it because you got jellyfish. You jellyfish were brainless, but the bonding really works. I didn't believe that. We didn't used to send anybody out. Last night they got to go out to dinner with themselves and they got to hold each other's dicks. You know what I mean? Bond. I didn't believe in that shit. Cause I mean, Ron didn't have to bond. He didn't know what he's got. But we now know that it brings on a new level of. I don't know if focus is the right word, but you relax more. I don't need to be relaxed to learn anything, but a lot of people do need to be relaxed to learn. And so, but your conversation and lunch sounded different today from last night, from the day before. If you remember the first day of lunch, nobody said hardly anything. Now that doesn't mean you talk out like a fucking maniac tonight. That's not what I mean, because I'm not interested in listening to your bullshit. So that's not what I'm saying to prompt you to, so you loosen up, as they say. But that you do, and that's because most normal people, normal being good or bad, depending on from which end of the continuum you're coming, get relaxed, and that's the whole idea why. You know, when you're selling something, the second or third sales call is easier than the first sales call. But because you know the second or third sales call is easier than the first sales call, you don't try to sell them the first time. When I had a 94.6% sales closing ratio, when I sold real estate, when I was going to graduate school, 94.6% of the time I sold, you either bought or died. I didn't wait. There was no second time. I pounded you until you said yes. Some people said yes in 30 minutes. Some people said yes in 3 hours. Some people said yes at 6 at night. Some people said yes at 3 in the morning. Didn't make a shit to me. You know, make it easier on yourself. You can buy now or you can buy later, but you're going to buy. And Ron comes from the same ilk, and a few others on that list come from the same ilk. But the whole idea, not the whole idea, but part of the reason that we get you to go out to dinner by yourselves twice during the week is so you bond. It's not really the word. I can't think of another word. And so you're loosened up for the rest of the seminar. And because even though I think this atmosphere is very loose, certainly my experience from doing this 20 plus years now is that a lot of people feel tension. And they find it difficult to converse. And they find it difficult to speak out or speak up. I tape this 100% of the time, not because I go back and I play it and it doesn't go on YouTube. So, 3 years from now, when Jerry says some shit in Canada that I said such and such, I can go back to the tape and say he's a lying fuck Canadian, just another lying fucking Canadian. By the way, your buddy. Got a Google alert, another case. Yeah, your buddy. Oh, my buddy. Another one. And I don't know if it's the same one, they're just repeating it. But what part of Canada was that? That she got in trouble? Yeah.
That was Ontario, Canada.
No, it's not Ontario.
Northwest Territory.
It was about selling her her sports deal.
Oh, that was online. I don't know the geography.
Okay. Well, the Canadian Security Exchange Commission. You know, as we sit here, I was looking at my Google alerts, and it was there. So, and no, I'm not going to show the picture. Some people have asked to see the Hall of Fame, and I'm not going to show it on YouTube because not everybody wants to be have notoriety, one. Number two, that's not a full representation of everybody that I've helped that's become super successful. If you want to see it, you come to the seminar, come and have a cup of coffee with me. We come in here and look at it. And I and maybe, I'm not sure anybody else knows every name there, but that's why there's no names on it. It's certainly true. And the more we speak, the more people, I remember that I forgot off of that list and that list. Even a couple others that I've forgotten off my influencers, like Pete Conrad, who I helped, who was the third man to walk on the moon. He was an astronaut, and unfortunately he had a very untimely demise a number of years ago, riding a motorcycle, of all things. So this afternoon, we're going to do more role-playing. We're going to do, we're talking about perception now. Perception is reality. I've already commented that Jerry looks much different wearing a suit, and we should have taken a picture of him before his suitcase showed up, because more than one have lost their luggage coming here this trip, and that's what happens. Even though Scotland doesn't consider itself a third world country, and in a lot of respects it is, but luggage does get lost. At lunch, we were talking about, just before we broke for lunch, we were talking about how perception is such an important part of the game plan and the model of being successful. And people want to perceive that you're more successful. You want to make it easy for them. You don't want to lie to them. It's not a ruse. You're not tricking them. But, like I said, nobody's ever asked me questions about the money that I made. And people will always assume that you made more money. Now, I'm the opposite. I always assume you made less money because I know that 75% of the people that drive, Porsches can't afford them, and a similar percentage in other cars, and people that spend money on other things, they're living above their means, and i.e. that was what happened with the credit crunch, that's what happened with the 2008 and 2009 financial debacle. And if you've been coming to this seminar from the 90s, from the early 90s, and we haven't got to this yet, the charts I've been screaming about, Too much debt, how the average family in the United States has 7 to 9 credit cards. And I've been yelling this for a long, long, long time. And of course, now we're back on a bull market, it appears, and everybody's forgotten, and so it's going to happen again. And just as it is, because a whole generation of new money managers, fund managers, have come up, and you can't hardly find anybody that remembers the stock market crash of 87. You can't. Now, the current stock market crash from 809, 8 and 9, it just happened, it's ended, it's, we're now on the up legs, people remember that, but now they forgot because it didn't last too long, so they've already forgotten it, and by 2015-16 nobody will remember it, and then it'll happen again. Are there any questions on anything that we've covered so far? We were talking before the break. Most of the financial presentations that you give are given to the wrong person. And when we get down and we go through a list of the questions to ask, are you in a lending mode? Okay. Are you on a credit committee basis? Are you central banking or decentralized banking? And there's a whole list of questions that we'll go through in a few minutes that to ascertain as best as you can that you're talking to the right people. How many people does it take you to make a credit decision? If it's 3, well, how come there's only one of you here? Well, I can wait. I'll go get a cup of coffee. I'll come back in an hour. Get the other two jerks in here. But you can do this before you get there. And when you have a well-trained secretary assistant, they get it done. So you know, because time, you can always, you know, you can't make up for lost time. And if you're giving presentations to the wrong individuals, you're wasting time. It's that simple. Many obstacles, if not most, are self-imposed through lack of preparation. I'm more prepared, I know more about you guys as individuals than you know about me. I Google you, I link fuck you, I Facebook you, I do all this stuff, and I have a file on each and every one of you. Some files are thick, some files aren't so thick, okay? And Bauer and Mayer, thick files. I stopped keeping files on Robert, this Robert, a few years ago because I don't need to know any more about him. Because I see him every week. But I do my homework. And it's like when I was briefing my daughter last night for her hopefully final interview for her big job in New York City, she's flying into day after tomorrow. I was asking questions that a normal 27-year-old young person wouldn't think of asking when you go for a job interview. Why do I ask questions like that? One, I prepared myself. It was a French public company. It was this, it's that. And because the better prepared you are, the higher the probability you're going to make, one, the right decision, and two, you're going to get your deal funded or whatever you're trying to do. That's why I listen to CNN, CNBC, BBC, etc., all day long and all night long, simultaneously. So I'm up to date with current affairs, etc. What's the most important part of the process? I've said it ad nauseum, preparation. How do you get good at the process? Practice, 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 practice. As I said already earlier today, and yesterday and the day before, I've spent about 65 hours preparing for today's seminar. More than 1 hour for every day, every hour that I'm giving the seminar. And I could give, although I've got 40 or 50 new slides this time, I could give a seminar in a coma, dead. I could give it from my coffin. I've given it so many times. Plus, I know it. It's my life. You know, each one of these guys has a story. Some of them have 6 or 10 or 20 stories, and I remember them all. Klaus Kleinfeld, I have 1,000 stories on. Ron LeGrand, I have, several hundred stories. Okay. This Robert, I got several hundred stories. You know, even Bodo the Schaefer, I got a lot of stories. So, but I still prepare. And when you go into these meetings, whether it's to convince an anchor chairman to be your chairman, or a dream team member, or a banker, or an accountant, etc., the more prepared you are, one, the more professional you present, you sound, and the more professional you sound, the less they're going to feel uncomfortable that you're going to let them down. You said, what do they want to hear? Whether it's a financial institution or a potential board member, they want to know that Sheridan or George or Marcus is not going to embarrass them. Because at their zenith of their careers, that's all they have left in their minds. And one of the things I always say, and I first discovered it when I was dealing with the Japanese government, Mr. Ito and Mr. Wada, the chairman and the president, respectively, of the Japanese National Oil Company, when I went to pay my respects in Tokyo, I said, gentlemen, I'm here to pay respects and to assure you that we will not let you down in any mistake, any error, any capitulation whatsoever will be my fault. And any success, anything positive, will be in the name of the Japanese National Oil Company. That's all I had to say. Never had to say another word. Now my team, those guys, were mortified. Fucking mortified. How could you agree to that? Did they bring it up? I said, no, it was my idea. Why would you do that? Why would you embarrass us? Why would you make us look less than? And they went on and on and on and on. money when nobody else has money, you stupid shits? What's more important? To me, the fucking money. To them, their fucking precious egos. And the exploration guys, every time we drilled a dry hole, it was a Great Western dry hole in the Gulf of Mexico. When it was a successful barn burner big well, it was a JAPEX well. It killed my team. It still kills them. Grates on their ass today, the ones that are alive. But when nobody else had a fucking dime, we had more money we could burn. We could light our cigars with fucking $1,000 bills. So what's more fucking important? You fucking tell me. I can't even imagine trying to do that, you know where. There's a reason I live in this motherfucking castle, you stupid cunts. There's a reason why I got a Bentley and a Cobra and a Rolls Royce. There's a reason I got all this shit. Because I'm fucking smart and I trained you to be fucking smart. But I can't be at every fucking meeting with you. And you get weak. You get weak in the fucking knees. Your dick shrinks up. Your tits shrink up. And you say the thing that they want to hear and not the thing you should fucking hear, say that you should hear. You get wobbly. And that's why Dave turned that money down the first time in the story I told you before lunch. If I had been there, I would have jumped on that fucking guy and signed the papers before that guy could scratch his ass. Because then you second guess. Oh, well, maybe a question to ask yourself and the people that are on YouTube. When you get up against the wall, what would Dan do? Not what would your mother do, not what would your lawyer do, not what would your brother do. What the fuck would Dan do? And it's always, always, always the toughest decision you can make. Not sometimes, always. I told you those cocksuckers would never give you the 100,000 euros. Didn't I? I said they were fucking thieves. They were thieves, weren't they? Yeah. Yep. I can smell a fucking crook across a football pitch. I can look at the pupils of his fucking eyes. I know that his dick shrunk, his sacks, his balls are sucking up in his sacks while he's telling a lie. Because I've been exposed with a million fucking times. And that's what the Dream Team's all about. Ciao, babies.